Now mark your place and go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Numbers 21 and John 3. Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus Christ by night. And the reason he did that was because he didn't want anybody to see him come. He knew that Jesus was unique in seeing the miracles he had done, and that's how he began to talk to Jesus. But at the same time, he also knew the Pharisees wouldn't appreciate his visit to the Lord, and so he did it in secret. And in John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. We won't look at the whole story, but he tells Nicodemus, he says in verse 12, he says, "If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" Now, that's an interesting statement. In other words, the Lord knew all about heaven. He knows all spiritual secrets. He knows all things. But there are some things that we don't understand well enough for him to explain it to us. And so he uses, in the case of the Jews, he uses parables, and he uses examples, and he uses metaphor to explain things that these people needed to know but couldn't understand unless they were shown in earthly terms. And so he says in verse 13, "No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." If there was ever a question about who Jesus was before he was born in that stable and laid in that manger, it's right here. He was in heaven. He came down. He did not originate. Someone says he's just a good man. He's a prophet. He's an example. No, he's God.
Amen.
And nobody else can say that they started in heaven and came down and were born. And no, we all started when we were born. Amen.
Amen.
And actually, we started when we were conceived. And I know that sadly today, people think that for some reason that just because the infant hasn't been born yet, it's okay to kill him. No, they're people too. And abortion's wicked. And some people that have been guilty of that are going to find themselves standing before God guilty of murder because those babies were people just like you and I. But anyway, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then he says in verse 14, and it almost seems like a new context, but it's not. He says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so," in other words, "in the same way, must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And then we have John 3:16, probably the most famous verse in the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I think of what Paul told the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved."
Amen.
Sometimes we make salvation too hard. I want to tell you this. You have to deal with sin in order to be saved, but you do not have to clean your life up. You cannot clean your life up. The Lord has to do that. You do have to want him to, but salvation is faith in Christ.
Amen.
Amen, a resurrected Savior. And so now go back to Numbers chapter 21, and we see the very original account, the first time, the time that Moses lifted that serpent up in the wilderness. Numbers chapter 21, I'll begin reading in verse 4. The Bible says, "They journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom." In other words, they're going to go around it. Why? Because the Edomites said, "You can't come through." "And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." We talked about that last Sunday, or two Sunday nights ago. "And the people spake against God and against Moses." That's a problem. We'll talk about that in just a minute. "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread, the manna that God was giving them. In verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight. God, thank you that salvation is not a complicated affair. It doesn't involve some catechism or some class or some series of deeds that we must do. Thank you that salvation is by faith in Christ. And Lord, as simple as it is, it seems that sadly so many people have refused to believe. Some think it's too simple. Some think they want to add to it or they want to change it. But Lord, thank you for the gospel you've given us, that when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, just like the Bible says in John chapter 3, that we can be saved. Lord, tonight help us not just to know that fact and that blessing, but Lord, help us tonight to understand some things surrounding it, some things that might help us, some encouraging things, and some things that would edify us and instruct us in ways to live for you better. And we ask for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have been snake bit before? Anybody here? Not one single hand. Wow. Come close a couple of times. I was pulling weeds one day in the field, and I reached down and I pulled up a big old weed, and wrapped around it was a rattlesnake. And he just as well bit me. He scared me so bad. I just about jumped 20 feet, I think, and I thought, wow, that was so close. I know some of you have been bit by scorpions. Anybody here? Yes, Eva. Tim Hampton got bit by a scorpion right after I got here and talked about how bad it was. Brother Gonzalez, you've been bit by a scorpion? You've been bit by a dog. That's the worst of all. Amen? Brother Gonzalez says, forget the snakes, forget the scorpions. The dogs are the problem in the world. Isaiah's grandmother has a little chihuahua that's going to have babies, puppies. And they've got a little dog over there. You met him probably, Gizmo. I think he's a mouse, but they say he's a dog. He's not very big. And he's the happiest little dog. And I was over there picking them up for the Christmas program. I stopped by Tuesday night to pick them up and bring them over here. And I went into the house, and Gizmo hopped up on my lap, and I started petting him. I like dogs. I like cats, too. But anyway, and he just took to me, and then the kids said, oh, the other dog's going to have puppies. And I said, are you selling them or giving them away? Oh, I think we're going to give them away. And so my wife might let me have one. I don't know yet. And she's met the Mendez dog, so that's kind of scared her away from chihuahuas. If you've met the Mendez dog, you know what I'm talking about. Sammy's not a friendly chihuahua. You have a chihuahua, don't you? Yeah, is your dog friendly? No, okay. So that's my challenge in life, to own a friendly chihuahua. Never have been dog bit, never have been snake bit, I never have been scorpion bit. I've been bit, I've been spider bit, and I've been bit by, so I have been dog bit a couple of times. It hurts. Now, there's a lesson here that the Lord is teaching these people. Now watch me, the death is unnecessary. The death is unnecessary. But folks, death is a consequence of sin. It is simple. I'll explain it to you, and then we'll kind of look at the passage and be done. First of all, in verse, I got to find my place here. In verse 5, Numbers 21:5, are you there? It says, the people spake against God and against Moses. And we've heard this speech from them a number of times. You brought us here to die. There's no bread, there's no water, we don't like what we've got. and they spake against God. And folks, that's a sin. Now, there could be any other sin there, but let's just apply this one. That is a sin. It is wrong to do that. And oh, by the way, when you speak against God, you're out of order because God knows what's best.
Amen.
And I do not understand. For example, I look at Dan Ball. I was watching Joel Milsick as she was reaching the end of her life, and I don't understand. My grandmother went through this, where some people have to suffer before they die like that. Christians have to suffer before they die. I don't understand that, but I know this. The Bible says the things we have to look forward to are so wonderful that the things that we suffer here can't be compared.
Amen.
In other words, you understand how difficult and how painful this world can be. That's just how much better heaven is. Amen. Because when you get to heaven, it's going to be so good, you're going to forget the suffering in this life. And then I'll just remind you for the 100th time that when you suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, you glorify him. Because what you're saying is, he's worthy of my suffering. And he is. But they spoke against the Lord, and so they need to understand something, and that is, sin has a price. Sin has a price. It is not a good price. It is not a low price. Ultimately, the wages of sin is death.
Amen.
And that's what happened, isn't it? But sin doesn't just bring death. Sin brings another kind of suffering. And the parallel here, the equation here is, the suffering of sin is like the bite of that fiery serpent. Now, I do not know exactly why the word fiery is used, but I can speculate. I think when those people were bit by that serpent, it hurt bad. It hurt like the scorpion hurts. It hurt like you can't imagine. It hurt in a way that was memorable, a fiery type of pain. I think that's got to be the reason it's a fiery serpent. I don't think he's talking about the color or anything else. I think it's the consequences of it. And the thing that the devil does to us is the same thing he did to Eve in the garden. He points us to the sin, which looks attractive. He doesn't tell us it's going to hurt. He doesn't tell us the consequences of it.
Amen.
And That's why we're so sensitive about that. That's why we're always warning you about the things that you've got to be careful of. And that's why God gave us the instructions he gave us in the Bible.
Yeah.
And the devil's going to come to you and to our children, and he's going to tell them, hey, that would be nothing but good for you. You would feel good after that. Why? You'd be like God, knowing good and evil. And you would just enjoy the benefits of that sin so much. He never is going to point out the suffering. Now, you look in our world today, and you haven't got to look very far. You tell me, can you see the suffering? All the things we read about children. I read something in the news within the last day or so. A man shot and killed a police officer in his car, shot him 10 times in the head. And the police officer died, and that man, if I recall correctly, was also killed, but he may be in custody, I can't recall. But the thought is this, that police officer, here in about a week and a half, his family's going to have Christmas, and they're going to miss him. And if he's got children, they're going to wonder where dad is. Some of you here know what I'm talking about. Have you ever tried to explain to a little child that their mother or their father or another loved one has died? It's a true story, and it's a perfect picture of what I'm talking about. There was a man in our church in Salt Lake City. He had a wife and how many children? Three. She says four, he says three. I think it's four. And we were up in the mountains camping. And I got a phone call, and a deputy sheriff says to me, are you Pastor Schaefer of Anchor Baptist Church? Yes, I am. You need to come down to the valley immediately. One of your, they use the word parishioners, needs you. And I said, I'm up here. at a campsite. It's going to take me about an hour to pack up and get down there. Can you tell me a little bit more? He said, one of your parishioners has died. And what had happened was a man that was a born-again Christian who was involved in some things he shouldn't have been involved in got on a motorcycle and rode from Salt Lake City to, I think it was Evanston, Wyoming, checked into a motel, walked out in the parking lot of that motel and shot and killed himself. And he had little children. How old would the youngest have been, Deborah? What, 3 or 4? Something like that? Yeah, there was a baby as well. Now, you would sit in front of that child and try to explain to them that dad's gone and tell me sin doesn't have a high price. Sin has a high price. Not to mention the other suffering that we see in the world. And and folks, I was a youth pastor, and I've got notes from the late 1990s of young men and young ladies in our youth group, and the ones that were faithful and the ones that weren't, and the ones that cooperated and the ones that were always not cooperating. And we'd tell them, hey, we're going to go on a trip, and here's what you need to bring, and they wouldn't bring that. Or here's the way you need to dress, and they didn't want to dress that way. Or here's what you don't need to bring, and they'd bring that. And we worked with these young people for years and years and years and years. And all the time, it was a battle. It is a battle. And now I look at their lives. One young lady has got children by 3 different men, and she's not married. Know another young lady like that in Maryland. Got children by 2 different men. 3 children, 2 different men. She's not married. That's a hard life. That hurts. young men not going to church, not raising their family for the Lord, just living their life wickedly, drinking or gambling or whatever else they do, and not serving God, and a lot of suffering. Folks, sin brings suffering. God didn't have to show the people in the way that he did. He doesn't have to make sin bring suffering. It just does. The wages of sin is death. But that's the first thing you see here, is the reason the Lord sent the fiery serpents in verse 6 was to show the people the consequences of what they had done in verse 5. But then a wonderful thing happens. Now, you ever work with somebody who's really stubborn or a stubborn animal? We all talk about mules being stubborn. I never have worked with mules. I've been around a few horses, and horses can be stubborn. I was talking to somebody about this a few weeks ago here at church. My dad had a horse, and the horse's name was Socks. And I think that was because all 4 of his feet, he had white, looked like socks on his markings, on his fur or hair. Anyway, nobody could ride Socks except my dad. And my dad hated to ride that horse because the horse just didn't want to cooperate. Most people would get on Socks, he'd just try to throw them off or rub them off on a fence or something. But my dad was a little more stubborn than that horse, and he'd ride that horse. And he knew when he got on that horse, we're in for a battle. On a day when Socks was cooperative, it was a good day. And because you didn't expect that from him. You expected him to be a problem. Now, you and I have been going through Exodus, and we've gone through Numbers. We've been with Israel here for a long time, haven't we? It's been over a year. I think you would agree with me. We don't expect them to cooperate. We don't expect them to do what's right. We don't expect them to see it God's way. We don't expect them to trust God or to do what God asks them to do. And I chuckle with all that, because even when we get to Judges, well, we don't expect them then either. But in all that, wasn't God patient? Amen. And then let me ask you the question. When you and I are stubborn, isn't God patient? Oh, you ought to say amen to that one. Amen. God's patient. And by the way, we should be patient with one another for that very same reason. I can assure you God's more patient with us than we are with each other. And yeah, praise the Lord. If it wasn't for that, none of us would be alive probably. But what an amazing thing happens here in this next verse. You say the fiery serpents hurt. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because of what happens next. Watch this. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." Wow. "For we have spoken against the Lord, and against thee. You want to know what repentance is? That's repentance.
Amen.
They didn't say, and they couldn't have said, and they wouldn't have said, we'll not do that anymore. That's not the point. The point is, we were wrong. Folks, that's the first step of salvation.
Amen.
Amen? In other words, a lot of people say, well, I don't want to go to hell, and I heard I'm going to go to hell because I'm a bad person, so I'm going to pray that God wouldn't let me go to hell. That's not dealing with sin. And I understand, we go door to door, and we talk to people at the door, and I've seen a lot of people pray at the door. I don't know how many people I've seen get saved at the door, because sometimes they'll just pray just to get you to go away, or because you talked them into it, but there needs to be a dealing with sin.
Amen.
You need to, honestly, I think the right kind of preaching, if you're going to do it door to door, is the way Moses did in Nineveh. Jonah did in Nineveh, where he says, you need to repent because God's going to judge you. Try that going door to door sometime, see how far you get. Folks don't want to repent. The popular thing today, which is a lie of the devil, is, oh, God will save me and accept me just like I am. And I can be wicked and I can be committing the most horrible sins in the Bible that God calls an abomination. And he's okay with that. He'll save me because he loves me. Folks, sin is sin. And by the way, if you look at the consequences of the sins that take place in our nation today, this is like a snake bite. It hurts. And people die. And I won't get any further than that for the sake of time, but you know what I'm talking about. The people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Now, you got to remember that we're in a day when there are priests, and the people had to have a mediator. We have a mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we don't have to go to Moses. You haven't got to come to me and say, pray for the Lord to forgive me. You can talk to the Lord. I'm not a priest. Don't want to be a priest. Never did want to be a priest. Don't have the qualifications of a priest. Priests are called of God, have to be the right tribe and so on. I am not that. But what I can do is I can show you what the Bible says, and you can talk to the Lord yourself. Amen?
Amen.
And we have. We know what we're talking about here. So the people said, we've sinned. Wow, that's great. And then the Lord shows Moses the plan of salvation. So look at the steps. Number one, verse 5, the people sinned. Number two, the Lord sent fiery serpents, and the people saw the consequences of their sin. They saw the suffering for their sin and the pain it causes. Number three, the people repented, and now we see salvation. Don't leave repentance out of that. Don't leave verse 7 out of that. Amen? Look at verse 8. The Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. It shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass. Folks, in the Bible, whenever you see brass, it's a picture of judgment. And he put it upon a pole, and it came to pass, if a serpent had bitten any man, I like that phrase, any man, everyone, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And I wonder what the first few of them said. The snake bit them. They had seen somebody else get snake bit and die. And they know they're doomed. They know that death is coming. There's no question about it. Those snakes kill you. Sin kills.
Amen.
The wages of sin is death. And they saw somebody else get bit, and they watched them, and they died, and now they've been bitten. And it hurts, and they can feel it. And they look up to that brass serpent on a pole. I kind of think Moses put it up high on a hill. Oh, by the way, you and I can lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, can we not?
Amen.
Amen? Sometimes we hide Jesus because we might be embarrassed about what somebody might say. No, people need to see him so they can live. I think that serpent was on a hill somewhere, really available to the people to see. And when they looked up, that fellow looked up and he saw that brass serpent. And all of a sudden, he's healed. He doesn't die. And I can't help but think he would tell his neighbor, hey, it works. Hey, that works. And sure enough, other people looked. And what's that song, Look and Live, My Brother Live? You've heard that song. It's based on that event in the Bible. John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's a picture of Christ and deliverance. The serpent. Anytime you see a snake in the Bible, just think sin. And when you think snake bite, just think people that have been caught by sin, people that are guilty of it. John 12:32, Jesus said this, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And the passage goes on to say that he was explaining the kind of death that he would die. When Jesus was put on that cross and lifted up, interesting thing in the Hebrew language, I've told you this before, but the word for sin and the word for sacrifice are the same word. Because the sacrifice became sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he who knew no sin became sin for us. When you see Christ lifted up, the serpent is sin, remember? There is sin, judged, brass, on the pole, the cross. Look to him, and you live. Say, Pastor, it can't be that easy. Well, it takes one thing, and that's faith. I expect there was some guy in a tent, and or wherever, and he got bit, and he knew that there was a serpent on a brass pole out there, and if he'd just go to the door of the tent and look at it, he'd live. And he probably said, no, that's ridiculous. What? That doesn't make any sense. It can't be that easy. I'm an old man. I know more than that. When snakes bite you, looking at something on a pole isn't going to save you. Yeah, you can look or you can die. It's hard to believe how hard-headed some people are sometimes. Isaiah 45:22, the prophet Isaiah says this, speaking for the Lord Jesus Christ, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And that's Jesus talking. And that's us he's talking to, amen? All the ends of the earth. You may not be a Jew, but the serpent on the pole still works for you. John chapter 6 and verse 40, and I talked about this morning a little bit. I should have quoted it then as well. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. We know, I'm talking to a saved crowd, we know we've sinned, and we know sin causes pain and sin causes death. Now be careful. The serpent's not done lying to you. He's not done lying to your children. And he can hide sin, by the way. He can make something that is a sin look awfully innocent if you're not careful. As you grow older and your children grow up, what you'll find is that there were some things that you may have at the time thought were okay, and you come to find out they weren't. And I'm not going to give you any examples right now. But in spite of the fact that sin has a high price, the Lord Jesus Christ is a great salvation. And it's just a matter of us needing to get some more people to look to him. And aren't you glad you did? I'd hate to be in a church that taught me I had to be this and I had to do that and I had to do this and I had to be that in order to be saved, when the Bible says, look to the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Amen.